my friend, are you confused about what to eat? It's no wonder because everybody's saying something different and confusing us all. And so we've got to get focused on what is important for our bodies. And fiber is one of the most important nutrients that we're not getting. And yes, it's called a non-nutrient. And there's so many ways to get fiber that there's no excuse not to get it. In fact, I'm going to talk to you about a study that was done in almost 15,000 people that determined that only 7% of Americans get the necessary fiber. Can you imagine? Seriously, it's like everybody's focused on protein. Oh, come on. And when I tell them I'm vegan for 12 years, they're like, where do you get your protein? It's like, it's all over the place. Hello, lentils. And lentils not only give me protein, but that's another subject. That's for another episode. But the point is that they're full of fiber. So you get like 15 grams of fiber per cup. And you could sprout them as well. That's one of the most important tips that I love to give you. And you can just leave right now. I'm just kidding. It's going to be quite short, but I'm going to talk about fiber way more because there's so many important things that we must know about it. It's like what was taught before is not necessarily what is now, and yet there's a lot of misinformation, as they like to call it. And they like to call the information that's good misinformation. So there's a lot of confusion, and I'm going to break it up for you. I'm going to break it down. I mean, we don't have to break up. But yeah, sometimes we can break a bread, like the whole wheat bread that I love to make also has flaxseed, it has oat flour. I love to add nuts and seeds like sesame seeds and sunflower seeds and all the nuts. And so you can imagine how easy it may be for me to add fiber because I've always worked on it, you see? But if you're new to fiber, let me just tell you that this is an undiscovered territory. And I believe that this is the greatest opportunity you have to change your lifestyle, your gut microbiome, and your immunity, your mood. Everything is going to be better with fiber because it's one of the most important, like I said, non-nutrient that actually is the most nutritious to your gut microbes, meaning the prebiotic fibers are feeding your lactobacillus, your bifidobacteria, and other forms of good guts. A good gut bi Oh my gosh. I'm gonna have to take a break. Sorry, guys, but I mean lactobacillus and all that. Those are lactic acid bacteria, meaning good beneficial bacteria for you to have an optimized microbiota. And that is the point of all this. And so let's dig in. Okay, so nutrition.org, just 7% of adults meet fiber recommendations, raising risk of chronic diseases. Only 5% of men and 9% of women are getting the recommended daily amount of fiber, according to a study that was presented at Nutrition Live. And that study, I got the abstract from. It's basically telling us that, here it is. The sample was 14,640 adults, 51.3% female. And let's see, yes, some of them were having diabetes or pre-diabetes, and you know, all the details in the abstract. The objective of the study by Derek Mikatinas at Texas Women's University was to quantify usual total dietary fiber intake in U.S. adults and to examine whether intake differed by diabetes status, which is another interesting subject. Okay, now I will do my best to focus and give you the most important tips, like I did before, about sprouting lentils and just cooking them. They're so easy to make. They're my favorite pulses by far because of their practicality, you see? But then again, if you like chickpeas, amazing, so do I. And there's so many options to eat more fruits, more veggies, more nuts. Yes, seeds, even simple seeds like in the watermelon, simple seeds that maybe in your banana there might be seeds. That's very curious. Like I'm eating some berries from palm trees. You could call them berries or just, you know, palm fruit. Just discovering seeds that we usually don't eat. Let's say an apple has about 4 grams of fiber, and then you add the fiber of the seed. You see, something that we usually spit out. We spit out the best. So now I'm keeping my watermelon seeds or the melon seeds or the papaya seeds, and I could either toast them, which is something that I'm gonna do, and most of the time I just chew on them. And so I'm getting tons of fiber that way. There's many types of fiber, like I said, but usually, like at the university where I studied and I graduated from, when I actually did my thesis on rice bran cookies, we were separating or classifying fiber as soluble and insoluble. You see, so the insoluble is the one that helps you go to the bathroom easily for you to have really what we would call normal bowel movements, a good elimination. And usually the soluble fiber is the one that helps you with prevention of heart disease because it just, let's say, regulates your cholesterol, which is something interesting that we're going to be doing research on because it's not how they taught us before. But the interesting thing is that, yes, insoluble, you can imagine all the roughage, you know, the brown things that were taken away from our flours in order to make white flour, let's say wheat, which is, you know, the typical bread. Okay, the difference between whole wheat bread and white bread is that the bran is taken away and even the germ. So only the endosperm, which is the white part, just the part that is, of course, caloric, yes, and it is nutritious, but it doesn't have any fiber, so it's lacking in the most important component to feed our gut microbiome. And so it's like, oh, what are we doing by eating too much processed food? Imagine the ultra processed, which is worse, because, you know, even let's say I eat a lot of frozen bananas. You see, but if I process them with some cocoa to make this chocolate nice cream, then I am processing. But I'm processing something absolutely natural and really good for me, whole foods, you know? The problem is that most people are eating junk food, and that junk food is really not food at the end of the day. And that's a big, huge problem. But let's get to the dietary fiber, other classifications like this one on Healthline, which I liked a lot, which includes fermentable fibers. You see, most soluble fibers, and I didn't give you an example of the soluble fiber like pectin, mucilage, gums, those are soluble and they're present, let's say, in apples, in peaches, in fruits for the most part. And it's mostly this type of soluble fiber that is fermentable. But that's not necessarily true because there's also the insoluble fiber, which is fermentable by the bacteria that I mentioned that are lactic acid bacteria, to simplify it. Okay, insoluble fiber is usually comprised of cellulose, hemicellulose, lignins, and yes, when these fibers, soluble or insoluble, get to the gut or our intestines or our, you know, our colon, then what happens is that they are fermented by friendly gut bacteria like lactobacillus. And what happens is that gas that we may have from the fiber is because of the fermentation process. So what is fermentable? And as I said, when we digest it, okay, this is what happens. We produce short chain fatty acids, you know, SHFA, with powerful health benefits, by the way. Super important, okay? And can you imagine not eating beans and legumes because of the gas? You're missing out because, you know, you are not getting the fiber that you could get. And who cares about the gas? I'm just kidding. I mean, you can soak them more, you can sprout them. There's many ways to avoid it. Thank God I don't have any fiber, and I don't have any gas because, I mean, sometimes I do, don't we all? But the point is that the more you eat fiber, the less gas you will have because it's a matter of getting used to it. So I have many tips here that I actually sent in an email, which are how to get more fiber from your food so that you can, actually get to that recommended allowance, which I haven't told you yet, but it's basically, okay, did I have it here? Yeah. Sometimes I don't remember it by heart, but like it's 38 grams for men and about 25 grams for women. And I have some things open here, and I gotta give you the right idea, okay? The most important fact is that we are not getting enough fiber, you guys, and I'll tell you why fiber is important, okay? Which is the bottom line of all this, as I give you more tips about fiber. And like I said, this is not going to be the last episode. And yes, there are many things that you may be wondering about. It's like, really? Fiber is the same as prebiotics? And we could argue about that, but basically, yes, all fibers act as prebiotics for the most part, and that means they are fuel. They are the food of our probiotics. Get it? Our resident microbial community, you see? We can't digest these prebiotic fibers, but the microbes absolutely do, producing, like I said, the short chain fatty acids and energy, of course. And what's great about all this is that we can prevent diabetes, heart disease, cancers, I would say depression. And in my professional opinion, I consider that we can prevent anything. I mean, heart disease, like I said, high blood pressure, overweight, obesity, stroke, for instance, issues in your GI tract like constipation, hemorrhoids, diverticulitis, colorectal cancer. I mean, by the way, healthclevelandclinic.org has this list of fiber benefits, you see, because it's not easy to find the information. You have to really dig deep. It's like, who told you this? How come this is not in the news? How come it's not on mainstream media? How come everybody's talking about other things that are not even important? Like I said, we get more than enough protein. We do not get enough fiber as a whole. Maybe I do because I work on it, but for the most part, the way we eat is very, very refined everything. So even when people think they're eating healthy, they're always as I see on the pictures and the videos on social media and when I go to their homes, it's basically what? White pasta? White rice? What are we doing? I mean, yes, we can compensate with the beans, and that's what I do, I don't complain when I go to a restaurant, there's no brown rice because hardly any restaurants serve it. Yet, you can add some bran to your food. Oh, I have my microphone right here. Yes, I will give you a few more tips that I sent, like, take it easy in the sense that you can do it one step at a time, do it gradually, okay, to avoid the digestive discomfort, okay? Drink plenty of water. For instance, the insoluble fiber actually gets to be like a sponge and it increases its volume and therefore helps you get all the waste out of your body because of the hydration in this case. And it could come from not necessarily water, it could be herb teas, it could be green drinks, like I said, eat brown rice instead of white. Okay, just making the switch makes such a huge difference. Okay, more fiber-rich foods in all your meals, and you can snack with nuts if you like them, if you love them, like nut butter as well. If you're like me and you do intermittent fasting, and that one or two meals that you have in that 8 hour or less window, make sure that you do have high fiber foods. And it's not hard at all once you understand. Okay, let's say lettuce. Lettuce usually doesn't have much fiber, but you might add some high fiber carrots and beets. It's like I think that we can be more mindful of the veggies that have more fiber. And usually it's the legumes, okay? So definitely not just lentils, but also beans, the garbanzos or chickpeas. And you could add them to your salads, your soups, your stews as a side dish, anything. And definitely fruits, my favorite food. Today I ate parchita and bananas and papaya. I'm like, I really love fruits and I thrive on fruits. It's like I'm a fruitarian, basically, almost. And I eat mostly raw, but I did have some brown rice with lentils. Oh, surprise! That's why I recommend it because I eat it. And I made a sauté with onions and carrots. By the way, it was delicious, except I burned it. I was on social media. I think on WhatsApp. I don't know what I was doing. And I just forgot about the pan. So don't forget about the pan. I did burn the sauté. Maybe not totally, but I was like, oh, why did I do this? So, I'm not perfect at all. Just don't burn your food. The good thing is that even if you burn your rice or your stew or your sauté, if it's vegetable, if it's plant-based, there's no problem at all. Okay, when it's from animals, that is a big no-no. Don't burn any food that's not plant, okay? If you're gonna eat anything from animals, but of course, I highly unrecommend it. I highly recommend we all eat plants, okay? No more dead animals in our bodies, please. And I would add, eat more seeds, eat more peels, okay? And eat a variety of plants. 30 a week at least. According to nutrition.org, to get the right amount of fiber, the typical woman should aim for about 25 grams for a 2000 calorie diet, while men should aim for 38 grams for a 2500 calorie diet, with lower targets for those over age 50. And there are some things that I don't agree with. It's like, why? Are you kidding me? I consider that this is very relative. But the point is that, okay, we are not getting the amount of fiber that we actually require for the best functioning of our system and the best protection of our microbiota. So definitely try to get more fruits, veggies, whole grains. And zero excuses, okay? Thank you. Let's keep going. This is an important tip that I got from AI as I was writing my email. It's to consume polyphenol-rich foods. How did you know? Polyphenols are plant compounds that have been shown to have prebiotic effects, promoting the growth of beneficial bacteria in the gut. They include berries, dark chocolate, green tea, red wine, and certain spices like turmeric and cinnamon. You knew that already, right? So we're basically increasing our consumption of everything antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, that has high fiber. And we're going to keep talking about fiber foods and different types like resistant starch, like there's ones that have weird names like beta-glucans, guar, inulin, oligofructose, and just like bacteria, I will also talk to you about other strains of bacteria like in your sauerkraut. But the great thing is that we don't need to eat something that has probiotics. It's like we don't need to get probiotics from an outside source, not even from our fermented sauerkraut, if we are constantly producing it in our gut. And that is my basic theory. Let's eat fiber every single day, and we're gonna definitely be feeding those microbes and have an amazing microbiota full of 100 trillion, yes, of good, beneficial bacteria for you to feel good and have your best abs and your best body from the inside out. And I could keep going about this, but I'm going to say thank you for listening and give you some tips right before I go. I love to remind you to eat and drink mostly plant-based. How'd you know? Towards vegan, yes. Move around more, get physical, even when you're sitting, like I'm sitting on a ball, so that's a good one. And absolutely stay positive. Focus on what you do love, what you do want, what you do have. Let's be grateful. So it's like you have love in your life, you have abundance, you have health. Okay, and we can have more. Yes, we can ask for more. And yes, we can get more. But let's really embrace where we are, which is something that I'm learning, as I've told you in previous episodes. So I'm embracing, I'm even, hug yourself right now. Love and light, kisses and hugs. Till next time, thank you.